Hello, this is astrologer Shelly Antine, and I'm here to give you my reading of the Pisces new moon that is on Sunday, the 10th of March. And we've, in the United States, changed our clocks at 2 a.m., but this new moon is in the new Eastern Daylight Time at 5 a.m. on Sunday morning in the East Coast. This is an interesting new moon to watch because the eclipse that takes place later, like in September, that is the full moon in Pisces with the lunar eclipse, is going to have some information coming in now with this new moon, some things that you may set in motion with this new moon in Pisces, 20 degrees, and the eclipse is 25 degrees when it becomes the full moon in September. It is the 17th of September, yes, that eclipse comes in. So, here we go. We are in an even tighter aspect now than I talked about last time when I did a talk about the full moon, because what we're looking at is, with the planets alone, Pluto at 1 degree of Aquarius, and then the last planet in the lineup going through is Uranus at 19 Taurus. So that's just a little bit more than a 90-degree aspect. That's like one quarter of the wheel, right? So what we are engaged in is really in-depth look at those signs with the planets in them. So let's see what we see. And with Pisces, quite a lot of energy here, indeed, in the Pisces realm, the moon and sun, of course. But also, Saturn is in Pisces, coming closer to the Centaur Nessus at 17 degree Pisces. Now, Saturn can mean karma. It can do that. Certainly does it, especially at intervals in everybody's lives. There's a Saturn return around the age of 28 to 30, and it's also every 7 years that it makes these aspects of the waxing square, just like the moon going to the first half of the moon. Saturn follows a similar track, only, you know, years instead of days and weeks. So you get a waxing square, then you get the full aspect when it's opposing where something was. And it isn't just your Saturn return. It can be an event that this Saturn was in either 7 years ago or 14 years ago or 21 years ago or 28 years ago. Something comes to touch the button and make you look at the karma. Have you worked things out there? Or how is it going? You know, so it's interesting to look back for yourself, but we also may see this for things that are happening in the world, right? And the Centaur Nessus is a very interesting one. I recently read somebody say something about Nessus that I never heard, so I can't forget it. I mean, I can forget it. In fact, I did forget it. But what I've been told about Nessus is very powerful and very almost scorpionic figure to me, because he is the one that finally finds a way to get rid of the solar hero Hercules, who doesn't like centaurs, you know, except for his teacher Chiron, who he wounded, a wound that would never heal, in his heel. And so Nessus had accepted an offer. It's in one of the ways of the myth about him, that Hercules gave him. In fact, he asked him to help him out. And he said, in exchange for helping me out, I will grant you the favor of having a relationship with my wife. And this was, Nessus was going to take her across a river. So Nessus gets to the other side and he has his reward, but Hercules either changed his mind or forgot. You know, and this is an interesting concept because we do have those moments in our lives where we say something that we were going to do, not as intensely or obviously as this thing, but, you know, it comes back sometimes to haunt us. We forget that we said that. We forget we made a promise. We forget our obligation. So Hercules takes one of his arrows and, you know, zappo, that's the end of Nessus. But it's a poison arrow, in fact. And so Nessus, the wife is there having all kinds of emotional experiences over this. And, you know, she's kind of upset with Hercules anyway because he's not exactly the most faithful husband. So somehow Nessus takes some of his blood, which is now poisoned, and suggests that she might do something to Hercules with it to help him. Anyway, it all ends up with a terrible situation for Hercules, who begs to be relieved of life, and off he goes into the sky. So these things can be very impactful, and Nessus is now seen as the buck stops here. Okay, we've had all this stuff going on with the solar hero and the centaurs, but I have ended it. I have ended Hercules, all right? So here we have Saturn, the planet of karma, getting closer to a conjunction to this buck stops here. Well, whose buck is going to stop? You know, who's going to be affected by this? Indeed, we have Saturn at 11 degrees Pisces, Neptune is also in this new moon because it's closer to the sun and moon. We have Neptune at 27 Pisces, the 20 degree Pisces new moon, and then 17 degrees for Nessus, which is really conjunct, as we would say, the 20 degrees position. So we've got this spread of karma and even Neptune, confusion and deception. And here we are at this new moon moment where we're going to make some intentions about what we want to see proceed. So I'm going to make that suggestion that you ponder that whole little story that I just told you and the Neptunian quality, which can be very spiritual and creative and elevated, but which also can be fantasy and even, you know, the self-deception energies, not just being deceived by others, but Nessus deceiving the wife of Hercules, and Hercules receives the karma of his breaking a promise in a rather severe way. So be aware. Be aware of what you're putting into your intentions now, because if you should be following through on these, or you may find that there's some kind of a, you know, karmic experience later on as you come out of the cloud of forgetful or fantasy or self-deception. Okay, so be very aware at this time, and you can be more aware because Mercury has shifted out of Pisces, so the mind itself has come up from the deep water. And it is now in fire. It's in Aries, which isn't a comfy place either for Mercury because it's so much more active. You know, you can get mental overload during the transit of Mercury in Aries. And you may be saying things quickly without thinking that can also get you into a bit of trouble. Impatience, and people impatient in their movements around the environment, but also their short journeys, people impatient with working with something with their hands and then getting an injury from cutting or burning. So we've got to look at, you know, certain things like being in the first mode of that Aries cycle, as we all have about 10 more days of the Sun in Pisces after this, right? So, you know, we might be looking at using a Bach flower remedy like impatience with an S at the end, which will help us connect to divine timing and not be as irritated. There's a lot of irritation and I want to get it to please happen now kind of stuff going on, and in the communications wanting an answer right away kind of thing. And Mercury is actually moving very close to the exact sextile to Pluto in Aquarius, at 1 degree of Aquarius. So this is a time when you can, if you slow down a little bit, you can get some really powerful input, some powerful downloads of new ideas, new thought, you know, stuff you hadn't already seen that you could see, you know, which would help you deal with that sort of foggy quality of the Pisces energy. You know, get clarity. All right. Mercury is also sitting very close to the prophetess that was the daughter of Chiron and Chirico, Okiro. So there may be some messages about beginnings and starting and things that could possibly cause argument or war. We have war. I mean, when have we not had war and lately? Seriously. We have our North Node and Chiron. They have been really together for a little while now. There is a separating aspect, but it's 2 degrees between the North Node and Chiron. And so we are looking at learning how to be a positive leader, to be courageous and not foolhardy, and to be a leader but not dominate. You know, just be the one that we can rely on, the one you can rely on. And so we're looking at this while the rattling of the cage is still going on by Eris. Eris at 24 Aries, the goddess of discord. Some people say she's evil, but some people say, well, it depends. Depends on how you look at it, you know. I mean, I would go through the whole story of what she did with, you know, Paris and how the, you know, the Trojan War began. But, you know, it wasn't really her fault. It was something in him that caused that. And so if you know the story, you'll know what I mean. But at any rate, there she is. And where Mars is and Venus, Mars is, you know, Venus is separating from her conjunction. They're in Aquarius, and Mars is at 20, Venus is at 28. So the Eris, 24 degrees, is sextile the midpoint between the two. So we have that still very strong need for independence and freedom of expression of truth for the group. In a sense, you know, we want to see the good that can happen in a more equal way. So this is going on in our personal lives as well as when we look out at the world. All right. Now, another centaur is involved, Chiron's wife. Shariklo or Cariklo, there's a lot of ways people say it, in Aquarius at 15 degrees. And that is going to be a square from Jupiter coming in at 12 Taurus. So that is the goddess of change, transformation, the grace, being able to hold the space and weave grace for others. And Jupiter is in a more conservative mode and financial mode, and the spinning of the grace is in more of forward-thinking, futuristic energies, change. It is a goddess of change, but, you know, Jupiter in Taurus wants to hold on to stuff. Now, Jupiter in Taurus is, if you will allow asteroids and dwarf planets to come along, in a grand trine in Earth, which we really need with all this energetic stuff going on at this new moon. Jupiter is in a trine with Juno in Virgo, 11 degrees, and she is, again, working for the women's rights and marriage issues or contractual relationships, we could say. And, you know, this is a big deal now in Virgo, the sign of health. And Virgo, the goddess of being complete and, you know, in oneself, not being a slave to others. So here she is. And then Ceres is sitting with the Centaur Pholus. The lid comes off in Capricorn. So the goddess of grains and the protector of children and the foods, in the sign of government. It's quite an interesting grand trine for the outer world, for sure, but also for your own life. See, how is that acting? You know, we do have a trine from Mars and Venus to the asteroid Vesta in Gemini, the one that speaks to us about what is held dear and what must be protected at all costs. So she's in there, and she is square just about the midpoint of the new moon and Neptune in Pisces. So she's not seeing her own need for the clarity and the information and the communications being helped, but she is in the midpoint to Mars and Venus in Aquarius. So we've got a lot of activity from a lot of places. We also have one more. We have Pallas Athena at 7 degrees of Sagittarius. So she is going to be given a direct trine from Mercury soon. She's got a trine already in from Okiro. So she's out there, she's seeking justice, truth, and so we're going to be seeing a lot of that. The South Node in Libra, you know, doesn't want to make a decision. Where are we seeing that? Oh my. Well, again, in your own life, are you people pleasing a little too much? You know, are you wavering? And again, once again, back to that Saturn karma. Are you living up to your promises? Are you staying true to your vows? Very interesting new moon chart. And again, a lot of the action here will be seen in terms of the relationships because of the fact that, as far as I'm concerned, a lunar eclipse is about change in relationship. It's not just to people. It can be to places, things, groups, energies that you have felt related to. This may be where you start to see the shifting occur. All right, now, does change have to be bad? No, but people don't like the word change because they fear it. But I like to tell my listeners I really believe that it's so because I can see it for myself. And that's one of the reasons I do astrology and give people readings and also provide forecasts like this, is when you look at it, you can tell where this is for you. And you can start to feel it. And if you let yourself, again, let yourself see it, instead of trying to keep that veil over your eyes about what's happening, then you won't be surprised. In fact, you'll be in choice about how you deal with things that are going on in your life. You know, you have the control over that. The outer world, we have to keep sending love and, you know, most benevolent outcome as our thinking. We can make some actions in order to help things along, but basically, the thing you have the most control over, if you let yourself look, is yourself. So, taking all that into account, I wish you a very happy experience of what you decide to make as your intention and what you are willing to see and grow through at this Pisces new moon. And I'll say goodbye for now.